Welcome to the Parental Thriving Podcast. I am your host, Melissa Bojea, journeying this path with you as I parent my own three children. Today with us for an interview, we have a very special guest. Her name is Dr. Jane Nelson, and she's the founder of Positive Discipline. Hi, Jane. How are you?
Hi there. Thank you, Melissa, for having me.
Thank you for accepting. I'm really excited about it because I never thought I'd be speaking to you face to face, actually. So it's very nice.
That's one of the joys of Zoom today.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So can you, before starting into positive discipline, can you maybe tell us a bit about yourself, your family, your journey through positive discipline? Because you are the founder of positive discipline, right?
Right. And I will just tell you that my journey started because I just wanted to be a good parent, but I didn't know how. And I thought the only options were to be very strict and punitive and rewards, you know, that behaviorism. But I didn't enjoy that. I didn't like it at all. So then I would try to make up for it by being too permissive. And then I didn't like my kids because they became spoiled and demanding. And so I'd go back to being strict and punitive. And fortunately, I took a class on child development at a college. And I was just so fortunate that my professor right away said, we're not going to teach you a bunch of theories. We're going to talk about one theory based on Alfred Adler and Rudolf Dreikers, and that this theory would help us to teach children self-discipline, responsibility, cooperation, problems, all these good things we want for children. And I thought that was interesting. But part is that though I was an obnoxious learner, and what I mean by that is I would say, well, yes, but, and what if, and, you know, so many of those objections we get from parents today, and oh, my favorite, well, I was punished and I turned out fine.
Yeah.
So even though it was hard for me to make this paradigm shift, when I did, I was just so excited about how well it worked. And when I say it, what I mean is that positive discipline is all about something that I thought of calling it in the middle parenting, because it's both kind and firm, which we'll talk about more soon. But it's never punitive, and it's certainly not permissive. And that's hard to grasp for a lot of people. And it was hard for me. Parents really have to have a paradigm shift. And one of the things I've noticed is that when parents come to our classes, later they say, oh, I thought I was coming to change my children, but then I learned I have to change myself first. And so what it is all really about is for parents and teachers to learn skills about how to teach children the skills that we want for them. And let me just ramble for a few minutes here on this basics, because, you know, when we first start out, we tell parents all the no-nos, like no punishment, no spanking, no yelling, no threats, no taking away privileges, no punitive timeout. And then we say no rewards, but also no permissiveness, no silent treatment, no hitting, no scolding, no withholding love. So maybe, well, what else is there? What else is there?
Yeah.
And so the exciting thing about positive discipline is that we give a lot of what else's. What else is there? In fact, to really emphasize this, you know, we have the whole deck of tool cards, you know, we say, and we have the tool cards for parents, for teachers, in the workplace, for marriages. Now we have tool cards for kids. And all of these what else's, all of the tools that we teach are designed to help children learn all the characteristics and life skills we want for them. Because you know, Melissa, how we start every class with the two lists. Okay, yeah. What are the challenges?
Mm-hmm.
And what are the characteristics and life skills you want to influence your children to learn? And so when they make all the lists, you know, they want them to be kind and problem solvers and learners and responsible. They just go on and make the list. And then for every tool we teach them experientially, I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. We go back and check, okay, when you were in the role of the child, were you learning all of these? And that is one of the other things I just want to mention briefly is that in positive discipline, we teach experientially, which means we do role playing where parents and teachers get into the role of the child. So they really experience what they're thinking and feeling and deciding to do based on the kind of interaction they're having with adults. And that is so much more powerful than lectures. And then to teach them what to do in advance. Mm-hmm. So as you'll notice, I sometimes ramble and for questions, but so the other thing I just want to mention before we leave this is after doing what are the no-nos, you know, the yeses, I said, okay, I just wrote an article called No-Nos and Yeses, and I've already mentioned the no-nos. So the yeses are that we always focus on solutions. You know, in behaviorism that is based on punishment reward, the question is, what is the problem and what is the punishment or the reward? In positive discipline, we say, what is the challenge or the problem and what is the solution?
Yeah.
So it's always focusing on solutions that are especially powerful when we get children involved. And you know, the one of the others I just love is connection before correction. Because we know that children need to develop, they need to have that feeling of belonging and significance. So we always make a connection, mm-hmm. but they also need significance through responsibility and capability. And so an example of that is to say, oh, I know you don't want to do your chores. It's just no fun at all. I remember when I felt that way too. And you still need to do your chores. So it's they're both kind and firm, and the connection before correction. And also take time for training. It's so interesting to me how many parents sometimes expect children to know how to do something without taking them step by step to teach them. And oh, are my favorite family meetings, because to me, when you have an agenda that the kids and everybody could put their problems on the agenda, and then they focus on solutions. Everybody brainstorms ideas for how to solve, because when kids are involved, they have ownership. They feel empowered. They feel belonging. They're much more willing to follow what they've helped decide. And of course, you know, we deal with the belief, not just the behavior, you know, the mistaken goals, if we get into that. Curiosity questions to draw forth. I mean, I could just go on and on, but we just have many, many, many parenting tools that help children learn the characteristics and life skills we want for them.
That is really interesting. And it's true. I mean, I remember that was the main reason myself why I did my own training as a parent educator, because I had been wanting something different for my children than the traditional parenting. And yet I couldn't kind of get there. I was like reading books, reading articles, and understanding what I have to do, but then at the same time, not being able to do that shift. And it was so difficult and so frustrating. So that is how I actually became a positive discipline parent educator. I decided to do the course to help myself to be able to help my children. And it was a game changer. It was a real game changer, I have to say. And it's been now 6 years since I did that course. And I can see the difference in the way I interact with my children and how the children interact back. So that is something which it's a proud moment for me to see that finally that the shift is happening, and it's happening through all of us. Although maybe the main contributor had been myself, as in the way I was thinking and looking at things, how to change the whole dynamics into the family. So
Melissa, I want to turn the tables on you and ask you, what was it that appealed to you the most when you took the positive discipline about, I think you took teaching parenting the positive discipline way?
Yeah.
And what was it that appealed to you the most when you took that course?
Well, the thing that's the connection before correction, I think, was one of the things that really was the first thing that, because it's also the first thing that when you think about it, it's like also what most parents tell you is like, you know, if I don't correct my children straight away after they did something, then I'm letting them, you know, do whatever they want.
Right.
And that was my initial thought as well. But then when I started thinking about it and saw the activities that were done in the course, it was something like, oh no, so it's not that I'm letting them get away with it. I am giving them the tools to be able then and understand why they shouldn't have been doing that thing. Because obviously, just as I am not ready to accept any correction from anyone if I am angry, the same goes obviously for the children, but somehow at the time hadn't done that connection. So when I did that connection, yeah, that was the first thing that really gave me that something through positive
discipline. Yes. And one of the things you mentioned is that people are so afraid that if they give up punishment and strictness and all that, that it means letting kids do whatever they want. And in positive discipline, we teach, no, this is a very dangerous thing, permissiveness. Permissiveness is not healthy for kids at all. You know, they might feel belonging, but in a very negative way, in the sense that if they believe love means getting everybody to take care of me and everybody to do what I want, and I belong only if I'm getting constant attention, that certainly does not work very well in marriages, and it does not work very well in the workplace. So in the long term, that is not being very kind to children. It may seem like it, but the long-term results. But since I'm talking about that, it's like also people who do choose permissiveness is because they think being firm is mean. And it's so difficult sometimes to help people make that paradigm shift that firmness does not mean to be mean. Mm-hmm. You know, to say, I know you don't want to do your chores, and yes, you'll need to do them now. Mm-hmm. That's not mean. Also, it's not mean for the long-term results, because it's teaching children that they need to contribute, that they need to be responsible and as part of the family. And that's why, you know, in schools, in class meetings, when kids have class meetings and they all come up working with solutions that works for everybody, not just short term, but long term. And that's why it's to go back to the list after we do all of any of the tools or the activities, to ask them, okay, as the child, what are you deciding? Are you deciding that are you learning any of the things on the list of characteristics and life skills? Or are you just wanting to do the challenges? But Melissa, I also want to mention one other thing. You know that we're now have a certified parent, positive discipline parent educators in 88 countries. And one of the reasons for this is when we do the experiential activities, everybody gets to experience for themselves what they're thinking and feeling and deciding as a child. Then they get to express what they've learned in their own language.
That's so true.
And the thing is that what we know is that as many differences we have in our different college cultures, what we have found is that we have so many similarities when it comes to our children. Mm-hmm. And that's why when we do those two lists, they look the same, just about every culture we go to. They have the same challenges, and we want the same things for our children. And so that's what makes it so much so universal.
Mm-hmm. So to recap a bit about this, what we are seeing is that the difference between positive discipline and traditional parenting methods is that we are looking at the long-term results rather than the short-term results by being kind and firm at the same time.
You know, this is so important. In fact, I want to even say it another way. When children have been raised with too much firmness, they might, long-term results is that they might be very responsible. They might accomplish and achieve, but deep down they feel I'm never good enough. They feel like I always have to prove myself because they didn't get enough of that belonging. They got a lot of the significance through firmness, but not the belonging. And on the other hand, as I've already said, those who get too much belonging, but are not enough significance, they go up thinking, yeah, I feel belonging. Give me more. It's your responsibility to make me feel belonging. So that's why it's so important to have both the kindness and the firmness, the kindness that gives a lot of connection and the firmness that gives a lot of skills. That's all it is it's just teaching kids responsibility and skills. It does not have to be mean. In fact, mean usually accomplishes the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Now, I believe you are a mother, a grandmother, and a great-grandmother. And and when we look back, it seems like children, they used to be more, they accepted more the authority of the parents. Would you say that it is the case that they used to obey? And if in that case, what changed? Why did this happen?
What changed is society and adults. Way back in the quote olden days is when children had a lot of models of submissiveness. I know that in my culture, it was accepted that the man was the boss, you know, the husband, wife did what the husband said, was obedient to the husband. And as society changes and everybody wants equality and dignity and respect, that's the model children see. And as Rudolf Dreikirch used to say, when mom quit being subservient to dad, the children quit being subservient to the parents. And that's what scares some people, because when they think the only alternative is permissiveness and that the children aren't going to be respectful and learn responsibility and learn achievement, that's, they go the other extreme. But you know, I've also heard, and I think this is true, that when we just teach children to be obedient, we're teaching them to be factory workers.
Yeah.
And another example is that when most of us lived on farms, you know, in more rural, children learned a lot of responsibility. Mm-hmm. They didn't have many opportunities to learn all the skills they had. Mm-hmm. But now that we have so many opportunities for children to have to use skills that they don't have unless we start teaching them more skills. So it's a change of society where we really want our children to learn to be more, have more skills, and to be more confident and have the kind of self-esteem that they can be more creative and more inventive and be prepared for a more fulfilling workplace, to be more fulfilled in the workplace. So in other words, if moms want to start being subservient again, then that would be a good, the model. But the truth is that everybody wants equality, dignity, and respect.
Yeah, it's important. And I guess it's more a matter that maybe we are still working as a society our way on how to find that balance ourselves. So there isn't that balance with parents and children either at sometimes.
Right. And that's what positive discipline offers, the balance. And you know, that is why, as you know, that we have found, this does work in the workplace. So we have positive discipline for empowering people in the workplace. And this does work in in the work in relationships. So we have keeping the joy in marriage, because these are just basic tools for treating everyone with dignity and respect and helping them feel both that belonging and the significance.
Mm-hmm. In going back to kind and firm, as we mentioned, as you mentioned yourself in the very beginning, some parents find it really a struggle to be both. Is there a way which we can help them more to find, to understand it, to find that balance, to incorporate it in their daily lives? Is there something in particular which you found throughout the years that helps more?
Well, if you wanted to say it in a nutshell, and then there's more details, but connection before correction is the same as kind and firm.
Yeah.
But the correction is, the other thing is, if you notice that the correction is focusing on solutions, like just think what happens with a child instead of saying, well, let me just say, you know, one of the things we talk about is curiosity questions.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to tell children, stuff in what they should do, a very simple example of that is hurry up and get dressed.
Yeah.
You know, which usually just, even in the brain, when we're told what to do, the message that goes is resist, you know, because, and so then even if we have to comply, you know, we just have this resentment. But on the other hand, if you say, what do you need to do to get ready on time? Oh, it said respectfully, it invites the child to think. The message that goes to the brain is search for an answer. So because they feel that more connection and respected, they're more likely to focus on solutions and to actually then be more cooperative. But even the, that's just what we call curiosity questions, motivational. Mm-hmm. Because when I say, what do you need to do to get ready? I don't even expect an answer. I just, you know, you just think about it. You know, oh, I need to go do this. But the more extended curiosity questions that are conversational is where I would, there's a problem and I say, well, what happened? And I listen. And then mm-hmm. I say, well, what do you think caused that to happen? And I listen. And then I start getting into what do you, ideas do you have to solve this problem? And would you like to hear some ideas for mine too? And then you can choose what works for you. So it's very much getting the child involved. And again, so then even just in focusing on a solution is very firm, but very kind. So people just really need to have a whole new paradigm shift about what firm means. It does not mean being mean, punishing, scolding. It just does not mean all of that. It means to being firm in helping children learn the characteristics and life skills they need to be happy contributing members of society. So if we could just say, okay, firm is not about punishment. It's yeah. about helping children feel significant. That's a huge difference.
And it makes a huge difference, because when I changed myself that perspective in seeing that the children have also their own ideas and their own thinking, yes. and obviously maybe what I am thinking, it doesn't resonate with them, and I ask them to see what does resonate with them, it does make a difference, because as you said, they will feel listened to, they will feel, even if I keep on saying, I'm sorry, still, this is a no, but at least they felt that their voice mattered and that I could listen to them, even if they didn't get what they wanted.
Right. And, you know, we also have the tool of positive timeout instead of punitive timeout, which is you go to your room and you think about what you did, which is yes. the dumbest thing parents can say, because they can't control what their children are thinking about, and they're not thinking about what they did, they're thinking about what you did. or positive timeout, which is a very thing on teaching them self-regulation, mm-hmm. of a place that helps you feel better so that you can calm down. And so sometimes even saying to a child, I need timed out till I can, I'm too angry right now. I need to calm down till I can feel better. And would it help you to go to your positive timeout? It's a choice, not a sending, mm-hmm. Not sending them, but recognizing that sometimes you can't solve the problem when people are upset. So you have to wait. And that's one of the advantages of the family meeting agenda. You can be upset and you can go write it on the agenda and then know that later after you've calmed down, you can focus on solutions. But I also want to tell you one of my favorite stories, Melissa. When my daughter was maybe 14, or she really wanted to go to a concert, to a concert, and I thought she was too young.
Yeah.
And I kept arguing, no, you're too young, blah, blah, blah. And she'd, oh, yeah. She'd argue back and forth. And finally I said, honey, I love you. And the answer is no. And she said, oh, you're so tight. But she walked away. She could accept that, whether she liked it or not. So even to just say no was not mean, because I said, I love you. And the answer is no. And if we, but see, so my whole point again is it's not wishy-washy. And of course, the other thing I have to bring up is that one of the things that's so popular about positive discipline is that mistakes are opportunities to learn. Because I want to make it very, very clear that positive discipline does not mean your children will be perfect, and it does not mean you will be perfect.
Yeah.
But it does mean that when we say mistakes are opportunities to learn, that you can keep learning. I mean, I still make mistakes. So many mistakes. You'd think that after writing 24 books and teaching this for 30 years, will perfection never come? No, it won't. But I sure have gotten good at learning, apologizing for my mistakes. And so, you know, even with my grandchildren, they say, oh, we made a mistake. And it's not, oh, it's like, oh, we made a mistake. We can learn. It's like, if only we could put that out there in the world, that mistakes are exciting. Okay, they're part of life. I don't need to feel blame or shame. I can just learn from it and keep trying to do better.
Yes, it's the I love you and the answer is no is one of my favorites at the moment. With my 6-year-old, it's like a never ending, him asking me something and I'm saying that. mistakes are an opportunity. I think one of the things that I love about the mistakes is an opportunity to grow, is that it takes off the pressure of me being perfect as a parent and being perfect as a coach as well, when I'm helping parents. So, because, you know, sometimes it's the parents who teach me rather than me teaching them. And from that, I can then help them in a different way because they help me to learn something new. So it is something which is ongoing, obviously, as we're saying. So it's not something which we will learn to be perfect, especially in this lifetime. And so I love that there's that no pressure on me that I have to be perfect, that I can be imperfect and still show my children how they can be better persons.
Right, because it also takes a lot of pressure off kids that they don't have to be perfect and that they're not, should not be ashamed if they make a mistake. But Melissa, I have to say that it worries me if I love you and the answer no is your favorite, because that usually works only if it's used rarely. It's like most of the time we should be working on solutions putting it on the agenda even to talk about it. But you know, when kids are just relentless and you just finally say, it's what I call one of my tools that you should use the least often is to decide what you're going to do, because that gets it back to the old dictator thing. But sometimes it's very appropriate. Like, I will cook even only after the dishes are cleaned, washed, or I'm going to leave at 8. If you're ready to go, you can go. Otherwise, you might have to walk. I mean, there are certainly times when just, I have to interject now to say that the time that decide what you'll do is most important around screens. I don't even know if I want to bring that up, but screens are so addictive these days that they need more rules and more guidance from parents who are just going to say, no more screens after 8 o'clock at night or whatever, and everybody, no screens in your bedrooms.
That is the reason.
for screens, and that we need a lot more parental control over screens. So now let's leave that one alone.
That is the reason why, actually, because during the Christmas holidays, I was a bit more lenient with screen time. So now that we went back to our normal routine, obviously there was the pushback. So I was like, yesterday, hours of him going from pleading to getting angry. So I had to use that a bit.
Parents have to accept that it's addictive.
Yep.
And, you know, we have written an ebook called Help, My Child is Addicted to Screens. Yikes, so am I. It does give some guidelines for dealing with that. But the basic is we have to accept that they're addictive and that they need more adult guidance around that issue.
Oh, definitely.
Of course, I sometimes say it's like putting candy on the coffee table and saying, okay, now I'm going to trust that you'll use this wisely when it's so addictive. And if you're, anyway.
Yeah, it's a never ending story, the screen time object system.
Yeah, that's another whole issue.
My gosh. A lot of parents feel that positive discipline is time consuming. Maybe because I think it's mostly because they obviously don't see quick results. Whereas obviously if you give punishments, you have that initial quick result. So they feel that it's time consuming, and so they start to give up on it, even if they decide to give it a go. How can we help them to not give up so quickly and you know, feel more confident using positive discipline in their home?
Well, some parents might not like my answer to that, but I am going to tell you that it is not more time consuming. It is just different. And parents often don't want to make the change because it's easier to do what you've already done. So that's number one, it is not more time consuming. When you learn the skills, they take less time sometimes. And parents fool themselves when they think just giving a punishment works, because it doesn't. If you take a look, parents are punishing for the same thing over and over again because they're not thinking about the long-term results. Mm-hmm. So they may think they've gotten a quick result just because they've said, given the punishment or told kids you to go do this right now. But the kids are developing this sense of resentment, and unless they become approval junkies, and that's not a good long-term result. Mm-hmm. But in the long term, it's much more effective to use the positive discipline tools. And let me just give you one example. For sibling fights, yes. I know that before I learned about positive discipline, I was dealing with sibling fights over and over and over. And again, it was a thing that was the most troubling to me. But when I used positive discipline and we used family meetings, especially, the sibling rivalry diminished by at least 80%. Now, I don't have exact statistics, but I could know it felt like at least 80%. And then things are going so smoothly that we got busy during the summer and we stopped having family meetings. The fighting started again until we started having family meetings again. So again, I want to emphasize, they don't take more time, and they have better long-term results. If parents really got that, they wouldn't give up. But I will also tell you something. I've written this whole tool, this whole activity called Tools or Tricks, mm-hmm. because there are so many tools. I mean, even when somebody said, well, I think that positive disciplinary tools are just tricks to make children do what you want them to do. And I said, well, you know, they could be used that way, but they won't work. If you're using them just as another way to be in control, they're not going to work. And in fact, I've even got, so what I say, if you're using tools as tricks, you're missing the basic concepts, the basic positive disciplinarian concepts. Mm-hmm. Let me just tell you what some of those are, is the idea of the need for belonging and the need for significance. That's missing from punishment, or even from using the tools in the wrong way, or not understanding the belief behind the behavior, not creating a connection before correction, not having dignity and respect, not seeing status as opportunities, or not focused on solutions. See, all of these are missing more basic tools, basic concepts are missing mm-hmm. From when the tools don't work. They just, and so when we do the activity, we say, okay, what did it look like when you did the positive discipline tool without an understanding of the basic concepts? Mm-hmm. What was missing? And then when they see what was missing and say, okay, now try doing the tool based on some of these basic concepts, and they're totally different. Mm-hmm. So I would just bluntly say that people who think they don't work are not thinking about the long-term results. They're just thinking about what they're used to and what's easy and what's quick. And also they don't really understand the basic concepts of belonging and significance and dignity and respect and focusing on solutions.
Mm-hmm. And positive discipline means that it is trauma informed, right?
You know, there's a lot of people who won't like what I'm going to say about that. Mm-hmm. But what I'm going to say is that trauma informed is the latest buzzword that is out there that's popular right now. Mm-hmm. Because Adler talked about trauma. Yeah. Many years ago. And the truth is that the four goals of misbehavior are all based on the trauma that children experience when they don't feel belonging and significance, and the degree. And so if we just go over those just briefly, like the need for undue attention, mm-hmm. it can be mild or it can be extreme. The more trauma that someone is felt, the more extreme these are. Because even in, you know, when we say about the four goals of misbehavior, undue attention, misguided power, revenge, and giving up, those are all examples of some kind of trauma. But there's also degrees within each one of those four.
Of course.
Like, for instance, I think that the way some children deal with problems is, okay, I just need to get your attention. The way some kids deal with trauma is, I don't belong. I belong only if I'm the boss, or if only if mm-hmm. I don't let you boss me.
Yeah.
And that can be many, many different degrees. And the more trauma, the higher the degree. And of course, revenge is usually a huge sign of trauma. I have been deeply hurt. I don't feel belonging. I don't feel significance. That hurts, and I'm going to hurt you back.
Yeah.
Or I'll hurt myself in order to hurt you. These are all examples of trauma, and some much worse than others. And then, of course, the trauma which some choose, I can't belong. That's trauma. Mm-hmm. I give up. I just give up. Leave me alone. That is deep, deep trauma. And so... But this is why one thing we know is that authoritarian methods, punishment is the worst thing you can do for trauma. the very worst. And so now what they're saying is, it's just becoming well recognized. And so I'm glad that it's out there for that reason, that all people are just realizing that so many of the methods we use, like to punish kids who are into trauma, just deepens validates their reason for feeling trauma in the first place. So it's doing good in the sense that it's really, really clear that you can't use, that punishment does not work.
Yeah.
But punishment doesn't work with kids who are not having trauma as well. So but I just love that. Okay, we've been talking about trauma for years and saying no punishment. Punishment creates trauma.
And if you look, when I look at it, I also feel that most of the trauma, we give it to them because of our own trauma.
Exactly. Kind of
a vicious circle that keeps on going on.
One of the worst, I'm so glad you brought that up, Melissa, because when people who say, I was punished and I turned out fine, and deep down, we find out that they did not turn out that fine. Maybe they turned out fine, but they could have turned out a lot better if they had not. Like so many of us have these insecurities, these fear of mistakes, and wondering what other people are going to think, and this perfectionism, and all of this. Part of it is just part of living, but part of it is. You know, one of the worst punishments I got when my mother, she wouldn't speak to me for 3 days, you know, as a little kid, that was trauma. You know? So anyway, it's like true that trauma exists, and trauma exists when people don't feel belonging and when they don't feel significance. And so that's the whole goal of positive discipline, is to help children and parents feel belonging and significance.
And basically, I guess, looking at it, when we do positive discipline, then we can say that any trauma that was passed on to us, we are stopping it with us. And so the children can be better adults and eventually better parents because they have less things to deal with.
Well, and sometimes parents go the opposite. They say, boy, my parents were too firm with me, so I'm not going to do that. And they go the other extreme, and they're too permissive with their children.
Exactly, yeah.
And they don't realize, okay, that extreme is also creating trauma. And that's why we need skills. That's why we need, and just like you do, it's like, so I'm going to say, by the way, that I don't try to convince anybody who doesn't want to learn positive discipline. I don't try to convince them. I only love to teach it to people who want to learn.
Yeah.
And people who want to learn are willing to see, oh, yes, I can see. And I do want a better way. And I want a way that is both kind and firm and that considers the long-term results and that helps me enjoy being a parent more. And there are plenty of people who want that. So I just gave up trying to convince people who don't want it.
No, I agree with you 100%. I'm not going to try and convince anyone. But people who really resonate with this kind of parenting will usually find it very helpful, and it helps them to grow as parents. And so, you know, it's something that will happen automatically and not just because you tried to convince them. Because whenever I try to convince parents, I found that it never really worked because they really have to feel it themselves, right?
Right. And even those who want to learn, this doesn't mean that it comes easy. Like, this is why when I was teaching the 6-week classes, and I know that people come because they really want to learn, but they're still having a hard time. having the paradigm shift. There's still yes, but, and what if, you know, just like I went through. But what I noticed is about the third week, they start coming back with their success stories.
Yeah.
And when other parents hear each other say, oh yeah, because that paradigm shift starts to happen, they start to try some of the tools, say, oh, they do work better. They get greater results long-term, and I feel more connection with my child. I feel better too. So, you know, one of the probably most famous quotes from positive discipline is, where did we ever get the crazy idea that in order to make children do better, first we have to make them feel worse?
Yeah.
It's just a crazy idea. And that's all what punishment is based on. And the truth is, children do better when they feel better. And this is brain science. You know, now they can even scan the brain and they know what's going on, and that children absolutely do better when they feel better. And feel better does not mean through permissiveness. Mm-hmm. Feel better means because they are feeling that sense of connection, and they are also feeling that sense of significance. They're experiencing dignity and respect, mm-hmm. and they're learning skills, and that feels good.
I think probably why most parents find it difficult is because, I don't know about you, but for me, in the beginning, there would be a lot of pushing from the children when they saw the change. Like at the moment, because I was lenient with screen time during the holidays, now I'm having a lot of pushing from my youngest child as he tries to see if I would kind of keep my boundaries. And obviously it becomes tiring, and sometimes behavior seems to become worse in the beginning. So maybe that is one of the reasons so many parents get discouraged at the same time.
Right. I call that the kick the Coke machine effect.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to the machine and you put in your however much money it is these days and the Coke doesn't come out, you know, you pound, you push, you kick.
Yeah.
And so sometimes kids are used to being treated disrespectfully. And they, you know, a lot of kids have even said, oh, just punish me and get it over with, and then I can do what I want. That's that. It's harder sometimes for both parents and for kids. But again, when we look at the long-term results, you know, what was so interesting to me is that my daughter, who is now teaching parenting and positive discipline and is a therapist, she said that when I was growing up, I did not even know that I was learning positive discipline. I didn't know that's what you were doing. She knew I'd written a book and was going out and lecture, but she didn't really understand until she got out with roommates. And all her roommates were so irresponsible and disrespectful. You know, they would leave their dishes in the sink and they leave their clothes all over the place and they would hog them. So they started having family meetings. They're still friends today because they had family meetings and they worked on appreciating each other and then focusing on solutions that were respectful for everyone. So I just love that it's just a way of treating people with dignity and respect, including our children and ourselves, yeah. Because this giving up punishment does not mean that you become a pushover permissive parent.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jane. It was a very interesting talk with you. I really enjoyed it. And hopefully we'll get together again for another chat someday.
Okay. Thank you, Melissa.
Bye.